Welcome to Season 4 of Soccer Over Gotham, an NWSL podcast covering New Jersey, New York, Gotham FC, hosted by Ruby Pinto and produced by Gary Gibson. Welcome to Episode 102 of Soccer Over Gotham. We have a great show for all of you. Gary, what do we have in this episode?
We do have a great show, and we got a point off of San Diego for the first time in club history as Gotham finished a strong three-game week with 7 points. We have some hashtag Once Gotham news threaded throughout this episode. We will also take a deep dive into the draw at the Wave. This is the first time in 3 matches that at that stadium where Neely Martin did not have the go-in goal, so we got that going for us. We look forward to our match against Chicago this weekend at Red Bull Arena. And we have our second Jenna on the show in 2 episodes. This time we have former Gotham player Jenna Bike, who is finally hitting her stride like we all knew she could and starting to do big things. We're proud of her here. We will welcome her back to Red Bull Arena and find out who has better pizza. But Ruby, how are you?
We know who has better pizza. But yeah, anyway, doing great. Been busy as always. And let me tell you, today, I don't know what I ate, but my stomach started going crazy. I think something in my food had dairy because I'm lactose intolerant. Mm-hmm. So my stomach started doing like noises, like maybe like 30 minutes before I had to leave. And it was like dead quiet in the office. So I was like, crap, great. This is amazing. Like, I'm like, my stomach's doing like weird noises. It's quiet. And so I was trying to like type on the keyboard a little extra hard so nobody would hear my stomach noises. But yeah, I came home, had tea, and I also had a headache.
But you're feeling better?
I took some pills. I feel better now. Good thing. But yeah, that has been my day, Gary.
So the WNBA is live. I was able to use my season pass, which is crazy. It's like $35, which is awesome. And they have like a similar, so I guess WNBA fans are like used to this, but like they have a similar deal to like, you know, the NWSL, where it's like some games are on ION, some games are on ESPN, some games are here, but at least most of their games is on that season pass. So unless they're like national TV games. So tonight, depends on when you're listening to this, the Liberty play Caitlin Clark and the Fever. So I'm excited to see them. They won their first game. So yeah, let's go Liberty.
Ooh, that's going to be a good game. Everyone's watching right now that Caitlin Clark just joined the WNBA. So I think it's very exciting times right now in women's basketball. Also in women's soccer, they're both like growing like exponentially. One more thing. Talking about the WNBA, I was on Twitter scrolling. And there was this video, I think the Fever were playing the Mystics or something like that.
They were.
And you know how in, you know, when you go see them, they have like the big screens and they put people in the screen. So on the bottom, mm-hmm. It said, Caitlin Clark bandwagon 2024. So they were like pointing at everyone that had a Caitlin Clark like jersey. And I was like, oh my God. Yeah. People were like, oh yeah, yeah, like in the camera, and then they noticed that it said like bandwagon. So they were like, oh. It was pretty funny. I don't know if I could find it and repost it.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting with her. Speaking of growing, we hit 19,000 downloads on the last one, so we're on to 20,000 and then beyond.
That's awesome.
Now Ruby, let's do some hashtag Once Gotham updates. So first, congrats to this week's guest, Jenna Bike, and former Gotham player Cameron Tucker on getting their first NWSL goals in the same game, which is pretty cool.
That is really cool. And I really love to see former Gotham players like succeed in other teams. Sadly, they couldn't do it with Gotham, but I love to see them like succeed somewhere else. And when we talk about them afterwards, we're like, we knew they could do this. They just needed a chance. They just needed more playing time or whatever.
Yeah, both of them are fantastic. Cameron's goal, I know we're going to talk about this, like, you know, Ella got the goal of the week. We're going to talk about that. But I think mm-hmm. Cameron's was up there and I got way too little love that I should have gotten. That was a banger. And I didn't see that coming. I didn't know she had it in her. So good for her. Hashtag once Gotham, Kelly Ann Livingstone signed for the Carolina Ascent FC of the USL Super League. That is awesome. She's a former guest of the show as well.
Wow, that's awesome. So excited about this new league and the opportunity for all these talented players that were at some time in the NWSL or couldn't make it in the NWSL. But I feel like with this, there's more seats at the table.
All right, let's get over some team news, shall we?
Let's go.
We're going to talk about her a lot during this podcast, but Ella Stevens had the goal of the week and was a banger.
It really was. I saw her her comment. They're asking her about the goal, and she was like, I don't even remember how that happened. I just remember like the net, and everyone was quiet, and then she realized it was a goal, but it was a true banger. Like, that ball was perfectly placed, like, in the middle of her foot and her laces. So powerful. So beautiful.
Yeah, I got the chance to talk to Sam Hyatt today in the pregame presser. Mm-hmm. And she spoke very highly of Ella. And she says the whole team is seeing how impressive she's been in practice. And, mm-hmm. yeah, we're all excited for her. She's going to be, when we get down to that mid-season tournament, I think she's going to be amazing. And we can really unleash her in those games. Now, speaking of the game, Gotham has yet to beat the Wave. we haven't even drawn them at this point, which is pretty crazy. So not only that, Gotham has only scored one goal against the Wave in their entire history. And that was against Yanez and never against Sheridan. Now, the Wave have had a similar start to the season as Gotham, thought to be the top of the table. But both teams have had injuries to national teamers and really have slowed down the momentum of these two teams. We're both mid-table and just trying to stay above the line. And both of us have a game in hand at the moment. And both teams are not giving up goals or scoring a lot of goals. So there we are. Now, onto the availability report. It's still long. 9 players deep. Davidson, Fairley, O'Hara, Purse, Smith, Stengel, Rizzoni. The usual suspects. And then we have at San Diego, this is big. We have Sophie Jakobsen's out, Morgan's out, Dahlkemper's out, Gurma's out. So both teams are missing huge pieces to their rosters. Any thoughts on this injury list?
Like you said, it's pretty big and on both teams. So it will be really hard for them to like play as their usual because all these players that are injured, it sucks for Gotham. Since I'm on Gotham's side, I will say, well, sorry, Wave, that you have no Morgan, which is good for Gotham. No Dahlkemper, which is good. No Gurma, good for Gotham. But at the same time, we're missing Midge, who is really, really creative at the top. She's fast. She has moves. She scores. She creates chances. Stengel, also, we don't have Stengel up there to score. So, yeah, both teams were like, they were affected by this, but I think it made it a fair game.
Yeah. And missing all those players gave us a really interesting lineup. Stevens was up top and Esther was dropped more into the midfield. We got Ryan out wide right, Lynn Williams out wide left, Sheehan and Martin in the midfield, and then Neiswanger, Hyatt, Sonnet, Bernina, and Berger. Hyatt and Sonnet have formed quite a partnership, which we'll definitely get into. Any thoughts on this lineup as it stands?
I'm so happy to see Ella starting again. Like, that was the highlight for me. She has earned that starting spot, and she's worked so hard to get there. Then Sonnet has been really solid in defense, so I'm glad to see her, you know, in another starting 11. Again, just a great starting 11 all around.
This game was one of progress. Gotham continues their fast start, and we've had the past couple of games. We got their first half goal 3 weeks ago, 3 games ago, and now we had our third. I mean, it helps that they have Williams back starting again. And then there was a couple of constants in this first half. So there were 3 constants. There was Sheehan getting into the mix and doing all the dirty work. Then there was Jenna Neiswanger outside putting balls in. And then Ella Stevens creating danger in the middle. And this happened twice on Ella's first chance. She almost got on frame, and this happened a couple times early on in the first half. Those three players were showing up over and over. Now the goal comes from a similar sequence. I think Ella plays an incredible blind through ball to Williams to get it started. Then the ball goes in. Sheehan again does the dirty work inside, wins the ball, gets it out to Jenna, puts in a perfect cross, and Ella just one hop, turns, bangs the ball in the back of the net. As you said, puts her laces through it, and there was no chance for Sheridan to save that one at all. And yeah, it is the first goal Gotham has scored against Sheridan, which is super exciting. And Ella's first goal as a Gotham player, hopefully more and more of those to come. There was not too much danger for San Diego as Anne makes one big time save and Gotham just gets the half 1-0. Your thoughts on this first half?
It was so exciting to see Gotham go up 1-0 against San Diego. And I feel like game after game, Gotham is gaining confidence and scoring against San Diego, scoring on Sheridan. I think even though, you know, like they didn't win, it was a big win for Gotham to see progress that we're going the right direction. They did something they have not been able to do against the Wave. You know, Ella finds herself in the right place at the right time. And Ella was going to score, I think, sooner rather than later. She's been so good since we've seen her on top. When she played during the Women's Cup, she had more like a defensive role during those games, so we didn't really see her attacking power. But now I think she has found her place, and we have a dangerous weapon that we're just gonna explore game after game. I think she will surprise us a lot this season.
You know, sports psychology, I know as a player, sometimes you end up facing a keeper for a certain amount of times, and you can't figure out a way to beat them, and it feels like there's a force field around the goal, and it gets into your psyche a little bit.
Yeah.
And sometimes it takes a player like Ella Stevens, who isn't afraid of anybody and just puts the ball in the back of the net, and maybe that, you know, that funk, that, you know, force field has been broken, and hopefully it's goals after goals on Sheridan from here on out. And speaking of Ella, she looks like a steal, and this is kind of interesting. I made a comment a little while back about Stengel playing centrally and just occupying defenders, because Esther likes to just drop back in the midfield, and which is fine, but it does help a little bit in the press if you have your attacker centrally. Now, it looks like they corrected that by putting Esther back into the midfield and Ella up top. And let's just talk about Ella. I think first, she's fit. She looks like she can go 90 minutes three times over, and that's number one. She's aggressive in pressing, so that's number two. I think she works really well with her teammates, and she's combining well, so that, you know, she earns those minutes. That's number three. And I think she has a killer instinct. She wants it. She's got all eyes for goal. So that's number four. And then, you know, Amoros isn't afraid to play players that he thinks are executing his system. So this will be a fun one to watch as the season progresses. As long as she stays healthy, I have no doubt she's going to play a huge role, as we talked about, coming the Olympics. So overall, just well done, Ella.
Yeah.
Now, this is where it gets frustrating, Ruby. A second goal and this game is over. And there were plenty of chances in this first half. Gotham should have been up 2 or 3-0 in the first half.
Yeah. You're right. That was frustrating because all the balls that I was like, how did that not go in? What the hell happened? Like, there must be some curse or something. I don't know what's going on, but that, like you said, it should have been like 2 or 3 goals. And I feel like they just needed to score that second goal to lock those 3 points. Just slipped through our hands.
You know, at that point, Berger, Sonnet, and Hyatt as a group in 2.5 games, they given up 0 goals, which is pretty good. And the second half, this team just looks like a team on their third game in a week. I think Lavelle is in for Stevens, and don't get me wrong. I mean, Gotham is still going for it, but they're more counter-pressing and counter-attacking. And I think this second half was all about the goalkeepers. Both made big saves, and Sheridan pushing the shot, Esther's shot to the crossbar, and then Berger, the save off of Sanchez's free kick was just incredible, and it should have been save of the week. That's frustrating too. Too many players are winning save of the week and not goalkeepers, and it's frustrating. However, Gotham's defense has been so good. They've been so hard to break down. Berger seems to be getting to everything. And I did talk to Sam Hyatt about Berger, and she was super impressed with Berger so far, and she changes the way that Gotham plays. And they, in order to beat Gotham at this point, you have to do something not traditional. So they literally score off the back of a player's head on a cross, on a corner kick. That is the way they're going to beat Gotham at this point. So it is what it is. The soccer gods can't just let us beat San Diego. It's 1-1 to the finish.
I know, right? I know, right? What's going on? Maybe like Gotham should try those back of the head balls. I don't know what's going on. I thought I was weird too. When I was looking at the replay, I was like, oh, they're just so lucky. But I think this is the first time I see Gotham give San Diego like a hard time. I feel like the last few games, sometimes San Diego was a little better than Gotham, but this is the first time I see them struggling, and I really like that. And I really like the hustle that the team had. They know that when the next game comes against San Diego, it has to be like a must win.
Hey, we got to point out San Diego. Yeah. It's a start. Right. And that's our first. And, you know, next time we're just going to have to beat them. I just want to point out, like, and even the, like, how impressive Berger has been, not just on her saves, that at one point in the first half, she had 11 for 11 passes, and then she had 5 for 5 long balls. She was pinging the ball around.
Yeah.
And it was super impressive. And she's just changed the way this team attacks.
Yeah. I feel like she, like, picks a target and she, like, straight like bullseye, poop. I really like it.
Yeah, complete confidence, and she's threading balls through defenders, and you're like, okay, this is a player that has confidence in where she's going to be able to put the ball. And yeah, it's really, really good. Now, any other takeaways from this match?
Yeah, I want to highlight Sheehan, because she was pretty much the one that started the goal here. You know, she started the sequence to the Stevens goal. She held the ball. She avoided San Diego clearing the ball. Then she passes to Nice Wonger. And of course, Nice Wonger, because she's the player that she is, a beautiful pass to Stevens, and she scored. So, yeah, it's so good on Sheehan for not letting San Diego clear that ball.
Yeah, she's always in the right spot, and she's always gets herself in the mix. And again, and we always go back to it, but like final product aside, Sheehan's a special player.
Yeah.
Special player. Now, this is both a positive and a negative, I guess. So I put out a poll to say, if Lynn Williams was going to break the regular season scoring record at San Diego on Sunday, with the caveat that as much as we want her to, I want her to do it this weekend at home in front of our crowd. And most of the fans, 86%, said she would. And the pessimists win again at 14%. So good for the pessimists.
I know. It just like last time, where the poll was if they were going to score more than one goal, and they did not. 13% of people said they were not going to, and they won. This time, people said that she was not going to score. 14%, they won. I don't know if I jinxed it or not, but I also like was working on a graphic during the game. I was like, oh crap, if she like breaks the record, I need a graphic right now. But she didn't.
You didn't believe enough to make the graphic ahead of time. That's
yeah. So, but we have one now. So now for sure she's going to score.
Yes, she better. Now, Ruby, I'm of two minds here, both okay, but not good enough. Okay, it's how many chances are you going to get to play San Diego without Morgan, without Dahlkemper, without Girma?
Yeah.
But yet, 7 points from a 3-game week, that's great. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you told me going into this week, we were going to get 7 points, some 3 games, 2 of them on the road, 1 of them against San Diego, like I would be pretty happy with 7 points.
Yeah.
And 2 of those games shutouts. Yeah. I would take that anytime, but somehow I'm not satisfied. I don't know what's wrong with me.
Yeah. And this, especially after coming 5 games winless in those 5 games. So mm-hmm. yeah, if you would have told us like, we're going to get 7 points, would have been like, maybe 6, maybe 3. But yeah, I think it's really good for Gotham. And they're still in the middle of the table, which is not bad. And they still have a game in hand. So that's good for us too.
Yeah. Now, performance-wise, these were all in Gotham's favor. And the last one was pretty even. But I did dominate most of these matchups. And, you know, mid-table, above the line, game in hand, a third of the way through the season. That's not bad. You know, it's just a weird space to be in. We want so much more, but where we're at is okay. Now, getting to post-game quotes from Coach Amoros on Ella Stevens' performance, he says, well, I think it's unbelievable. The way Ella is growing at the moment, obviously she wasn't playing at all, but then she's working extremely hard every day, understanding the concepts, executing technical actions, tactical movements, combining being key of her offensive place. I think she's been involved directly and consecutively scoring 4 games where she's been involved in all those actions. So credit to her. She's an example of commitment, hard work, growing, and adding value to her game, to the team. And definitely today, that goal was special.
Wow. That's awesome coming from the coach. That's really, really good coming from the coach. And again, we knew that too.
Yeah. These are the stories we love. These are the players that, like, you know, the Neely Martins, the Sheehans, the players mm-hmm. that get a second chance. They know they got something and they just need a chance to prove it. And Ella is taking this chance wholeheartedly and we're here for it. Getting to the second quote, this was Sheehan. And she says, I think this point is big time for us. We haven't gotten points off of them ever. So I think every game we come out of it feeling disappointed because we want to compete. But so to get a point out of them is big time for us, especially at the end of a long week. So I feel better now. Exactly.
Yeah, it was definitely a long week for them. So yeah. A point, it's really good.
Yeah.
We agree with you, Sheehan.
Any stats of the game, Ruby?
My stat of the game is defense with 19 clearances and then goalkeeper with 6 keeper saves.
Yeah, we've been averaging about 14, so it's a little bit more in our defensive end than we wanted to be.
Mm-hmm.
But good job, defense. I'm going to talk about the offense. And it is 4 big chances created, and we've done that 2 games in a row. So we've created 14 big chances all season, so over half of those has been in the last 2 games. So there's positive momentum, and where there's chances, there's goals. Hopefully. Now, get to our hero of the week. The fans chose Berger at 62%, Stevens 23%, Nyswanger 10%, and Sonnet at 5%. Do you agree, Ruby?
Oof. Well, she had a great game. She had a big game, a lot of big saves. Yes, Berger, but also Stevens. I think she deserves it because this goal, it didn't happen by luck. She's been really working for this. So I'm going to give it to both of them. What about you?
I agree that it is Berger, but it is, I think Stevens and Nyswanger are underrepresented in this. This has been a crazy week for Jenna Nyswanger. Like, one of the fun things to do is if you're fans of us over or follow us on Twitter, I like to do the post-game stats thread that allows me to really dig into the stats and you know, get a better feel of how to storytell based on stats for this podcast. So in this past week, there's been 3 games, and each one of them, like, Nyswanger is just a standout. She's winning most of her tackles. She's creating most of the chances. She's has 20 more touches per game than anybody else. Like, everything goes through her. She's been phenomenal. This has been an amazing 3-game week for her. Now, let's get to the standings, Ruby. KC Current and Orlando Pride are tied at the top and still have not been beaten. Pretty crazy. Our next game is against a team in number 5 position, which is Chicago Red Stars. Then the next 3 games for us are against teams below the line. So we should be getting points coming up. Any thoughts?
Yeah, but I mean, I feel like this is the first time San Diego and Angel City were just, I don't know, different. We didn't really see them much in the bottom of the table. Mm-hmm. So looking at the Royals there in Bay FC, it's kind of like they need to like find something to get more points. Let's see, Utah Royals here. They've only won one time. That's crazy. In 9 games. But they also lost Dorsey for injury. But, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen there. Now, going to Gotham. Gotham is in a great place. 7th in the table. Really good. Chicago started really fast this season. They were bottom of the table last year. I don't know if they're going to have like that Gotham glow up like they did last year. It will be another great story, but I'm still rooting for Gotham to win this other championship.
Yeah, it's going to be a climb for Gotham at this point, with KC and Orlando building quite a lead here early on in the season. Now, Gotham is in a good place, despite the missing pieces. You know, we're unbeaten in 4, unbeaten since Berger arrived, and we haven't been shut out in that span as well, which is also a good thing. Now, our opponent this weekend, Chicago, hasn't kept a clean sheet in 8 matches, so we got that going for us. Yet, they have the league's best record away from home. They have not lost away from home this season. And Swanson is back. And they're a team that is all hustle and will fight you to the final whistle. Very similar to Gotham 22, when, you know, maybe you're not winning every game, but you're in there and you're fighting. So your thoughts on this matchup, Ruby?
I think it's going to be a good one. Like you said, Swanson is back. They didn't have her last year. They were going through a lot of changes last year as well. So maybe that had something to do. I'm so glad that they have found their pace this year. And then they've been winning games. And it's going to be really hard for Gotham in this game. But I think Gotham is going to do really well again because we're playing at Red Bull. Red Bull Arena is great. They're going to be home. They're going to have the fans cheering on them. So that will give them extra motivation. Now, what I was going to ask you, do you remember when Swanson played for Gotham, like for a hot minute?
She played 15 minutes, I think, or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. She's just a special player. She really is. So they have a great weapon in her. Also, Jenna Bike has been doing amazing. So it's going to be interesting to see this game, how this team that wasn't doing great last year, it's like their comeback year. And Gotham now has like a reputation to like keep up. So let's see how they're going to go in this game. Gotham needs every point they can to like keep climbing the standings, because we're right now like 7th place. We're a few points from like being off the playoff like line. So they definitely need every point they can get.
Yeah, this is the stretch of the season that I'll say this is where we're going to find out if Gotham's a good team or not.
Yeah.
Good teams win the games they're supposed to win. And this one at home, Gotham should win this game. They're going to play 3 teams below the line. Those are 3 games that they should win. So we'll see what happens. But I don't know if it's legal for Gotham to score 2 goals in a game yet. I'd have to go check the rule book.
I know, right? Do they have to like unlock a level? What's going on here? We need a cheat code, code to make 2 goals for Gotham.
I don't know. Gotham has to prove to me that they can score more than 1 goal. That's it. You know, maybe L is the key to getting this car running and getting more than 1 goal. Who knows?
Yeah, let's all get in this Ella car, Ella bus, whatever you want to call it. We need like all the goals we can get. We're just going to keep manifesting this until it happens.
Mm-hmm. Now, this game, prior to kickoff, we got actress Jennifer Esposito, and then sailor Cole Brower will serve as the honorary torchbearers.
Okay, that's awesome. Telling you, like it makes it like really cool to see like some type of like influencer or celebrity coming to the games at Gotham. I think it's really cool. And, you know, it's easier for these types of people to come to the game because it's New York market. So, yeah.
Agree. So what do we manifest this week?
Again, a 2+ goal game, please. 2+ goals. That's what we're manifesting.
I don't care if it's 1 goal. As long as it is Lynn Williams breaking the scoring record at home.
Ooh. Yes.
That's it.
Imagine two goals from Lynn Williams. That would be awesome.
Sure. Take it. Any random thoughts before we head out?
I do not have any random thoughts this week.
I am super excited about our interview with Jenna Bike. It's a player that we wanted to interview earlier on and it just never worked out. And I love that we get a second chance to talk to her and get to know her as a person and, you know, talk about her motivations and what keeps her going because she's got a really interesting journey. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm excited for Ruby. You ready?
I'm ready. I'm excited.
Let's go.
Let's go. All right. So one of the bright spots of the 2022 Gotham FC was national team replacement player Jenna Bike. Jenna, you came in and you showed your strong work ethic and athleticism. While you primarily play forward, you've also shown versatility by filling in at the right back. Jenna, you joined the Red Stars in 2022, and you blossomed this season into a regular starter alongside Mallory Swanson. And I just want to say welcome to the show and thank you for coming to talk to us.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm super excited to do this.
Yes, we're so excited too for you to be here. And before I start, I just wanted to like get this question like out of the way. Who has better pizza, Chicago or New York, New Jersey?
Well, I'm from Connecticut, so I would say New Haven, Connecticut has the best pizza.
Okay.
But it would have to be if it's between those two. I mean, New York, New Jersey has the best pizza. I don't like deep dish.
Okay, there you go.
I'll stay away from it.
That's the right answer. Any like toppings, like favorite toppings on your pizza?
No, I keep it pretty simple. I do sausage sometimes bacon, but I just really like the like wood fired.
Yeah.
The thin crust too. It's all good, but
good. I'm in Morristown here in New Jersey, and they have this spot called Cognilio's, and it's pretty good. I think Barstool just went there, like, I think a couple of weeks ago or a month ago, and it was like a 8.4 score, so that was pretty good.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I was like, I knew they had good pizza, so it was a good rating.
Oh, we had a spot I could hold up so quick that we loved. And we'd always went back when I played in Gotham and we would like leave practice and be like, yeah, we have to go get pizza.
You were like, today's pizza day, girls. Come on, let's go.
Yeah, it was like right next to a Trader Joe's, right next to the training facility.
Oh, is it on Nona's?
Yes. Yes, it was Nona's.
Of course.
We'd like, that's not a lot.
Yeah, I live near there and I work near there. So yeah, that's another spot that's really good. Nona's. Yeah, so everyone that's listening, go try Nona's. It's really good.
Yeah.
All right. So like in this show, like our mission is always to like tell stories of players and get to know you. And we really wanted to get to know you because right now a lot of people have started to hear your name. Because you're doing so, so well right now with Chicago Red Stars. But we want to get to know you a little better. We want to know about little Jenna, you know, and know like how you got to now. First, tell us, like, how was it to like grow up in Trumbull, Connecticut? How was like your lifestyle when you were little?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think it was probably like as basic as it could get, and I feel like everyone says that, but I had a very normal childhood. I played three sports. I played softball, basketball, and soccer. Both of my parents were athletes. My sister played sports. Like, I always hung around that crowd. I was like a little bit of a tomboy, so I would like play with the guys at recess and played football with them and do all that stuff. I used to go to my dad's football games and softball games growing up. So I was like a big sports person. Always loved sports. Both my parents didn't play soccer.
I was about to ask.
They knew nothing about soccer when I was playing. They didn't even know if I was good or not. Like, they were like understanding nothing. They were learning right beside me.
Yeah, they were like, yeah, she likes to play soccer, but yeah, we don't know if she's any good.
Yeah, it was like the basic rec. They were like, yeah, we don't know. Like, I remember very early on, I like went to a camp, and it was like the coaches were like, oh, you should do travel. Like, you're pretty good. And my dad's like, you're not doing travel. Like, stop. You can play like basketball.
I see in your future basketball. And you were like, no, dad.
Yeah, I was like, I can't shoot for anything. Like, I was that fast girl on the court who, like, could defend really well and then would miss her layups.
Yeah. Are you tall? Like, no, I mean, basketball players are, like, huge.
No, I'm, like, 5'5". It wouldn't have panned out for me. I would not have been very successful.
You would have been like a Kevin Hart in the basketball court.
Seriously.
That's so funny. So yeah, so your parents were not really into sports or anything. What did they do as a living? Like, what did they do?
Yeah, my dad's a plumber. He owns his own business. He works with his brother. And my mom is a speech pathologist in a high school.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. And you're like, no, I don't want to do those things.
Yeah, well, I am a nurse, so I kind of fell into you a little bit of a pattern.
Right? That's true. That's really true. Like, healthcare is, you know, like public service out there. So you started playing at what age, soccer?
Four or five, started with rec and then did, like, the basic pipeline up of, like, you do rec and then travel and then you do club soccer and the ODP and regional and national camps and, like, all that stuff. And then eventually, like, that we never had, like, a set, like, I'm playing because I want to, like, be a professional. Like, I think my family, we were always, like, so in the moment. And, like, everything was opening up, like, a new door and a new opportunity. And we kind of just, like, flowed into everything. It wasn't, like, she has to do this and this and this. And, like, it was never set. It was kind of just, like, this is awesome. It's really fun. Like, let's see where it can go.
Yeah. So technically, your dad did listen to your coach and eventually you traveled and did club.
Yeah, yeah. I think I was actually just on the phone with one of my old coaches and we were kind of reminiscing on, like, when I was really young. And he coached me when I was 9, 10. And he was like, I remember I was at, like, a college, like, recruiting trip. And then I'm on the phone with your mother trying to convince you to come play club. Like, as a 9-year-old, he was like, I was, like, trying to recruit college kids, but I remember being so focused on, like, trying to get you just to, like, come to my club and my team. And he was like, that's crazy, like, you were 9. So it was always, like, a little outside push for us, I think, until I got a little older, obviously, in high school. And they're just like, okay, well, yeah, now we can, like, actually start thinking about, like, college, and maybe this could be, like, never really a career, but, like, this could open up so many, like, doors, which is maybe what we look at.
Yeah, that's true. And it's so crazy that he saw that in you at 9 years old. Like, he saw the potential in you and gave you that push to keep going. And like you said, then you went to high school. Then that's when you started getting a little bit more serious about it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's when I started. I think I got called into a national camp. At 14, it was like the under 14. It was like the first one that they did, and I got called in, and that's when we were like, oh, like, this could actually, like, be something. Cause I never knew, like, I didn't know there was, like, youth national teams. I didn't know that was, like, really a thing until, like, you get called in and you're like, oh, this is, like, really cool. And, like, I'm actually important and, like, really good at this. But, like, up until that point, it was, like, mainly just for fun. But yeah, it just, like, kind of kept progressing from there. I committed to college really young. I think I was a freshman in high school when I committed. Okay. So we, like, jumped right on that. We're I think a part of us were always like, this is, like, the best opportunity, and, like, what if, like, it goes away tomorrow? So, like, we were very, like, we jumped on situations, like, we were, like, very eager to, like, get things, like, set in stone and just, like, have a very stable, like, transition from high school into college. Mm-hmm. I think that was always, like, my family's thought process was, like, we do want, like, stability. We don't want to leave things up to chance and like all that stuff. So like our mindset was, I think, a little different than like other people who may be like, they're growing up when they're like, I'm going to take all my chances and all that. We were very like stability. Like we want like you to be healthy and happy and get an education. So that was always like the main focus.
Yeah. Where they're kind of like, all right, like, hey, like we need to put this like in the spreadsheet and like look at the cons and the pros, or you guys were kind of more like, all right, this chance is here. I don't want to say no and regret it tomorrow.
Yeah, we were like, it's here. I went to Boston College. So my parents were like, it's like our dream school for you. And like, I ended up having such an amazing time there. But like, I don't think I was the firstborn, and like they had like always had like high wishes for me and hope for me. And like, they were like, this is like such an amazing opportunity. And like, this is like what we dream for you to be able to do.
Plus, so I think, yeah. Plus it's not too far from home. So you could like, I mean, it's probably going to be like 4 or 5 hour drive maybe.
Yeah. And they would let me home anywhere. But like, I think as a family, we were like, this is like, they were like, this is perfect. Like it's everything we would have wanted for you.
Yeah. And then when you were in college, did you have any like players that you looked up to? Like, I want to be like this person, or like this person inspires me.
That's a good question. I like wasn't, and I don't know if this is bad to say, but I don't think I was ever a big like role model person. Like I never had, like everyone has their like heroes. And I think like mine were my parents, just because like of how hard they worked, and like just outside of soccer, like the way they are as human beings, like that's who I looked up to. And then I think on the flip side of it, like I've always been surrounded by a lot of like really great people and teammates, so I think I found a lot of my inspiration from them. And like even now, people on my team, like I look up to the older girls, even though I'm like part of that group now. Like I look to them, and like they're honestly like heroes for me. Just like with their experiences and how they like carry themselves and handle situations day in and day out. So like thinking about like one person when I was growing up that I looked at, like I don't think I had like anyone in particular. I just like kind of admired the people around me.
Yeah. And kind of like you didn't really want to be like someone else. You just wanted to be the best you could be.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. That's really cool. And that's really cool that you look at it that way. Also, when you were in college, you suffered an injury when you were there, and okay, you were out for 13 months. How did you handle that situation at that time, like being out for so long with an injury?
Yeah, I mean, it was really tough because I stayed in Boston for all of off season, and we were training. I was probably at like my peak, like physical, like fitness and strength ability. Like everything felt so good. I had no problems like leading up to my injury. And then just on a 40-yard sprint at the end of our conditioning session, I like feel a pop. I like turn to see if someone hit me, and then was like, oh, like, I think I just, like, strained my hamstring. And, like, that's all I ever thought it was. So I walked out. My coach knew right away. He was like, was it your hamstring? I was like, yeah, I'm just going to go, like, right into the training office. They're like, okay, yeah, like, we'll set you up with the doctor. Like, why don't you just do, like, we had lift after. She was like, why don't you go lift, do, like, whatever you can, which wasn't a lot. It was a lot of upper body. But I remember, like, by the time I was done with lift, like, the whole back of my leg was, like, black and blue. And they're like, okay, we're going to get an MRI. They do the first MRI, and they were like, you're all good to go. Nothing's wrong. And then I get a call from the doctor who's like, actually, we want to do a second one because we're not, like, too sure about the placement. But at that point, I'm like, I'm out of the woods. Preseason starts in a week. Like, if I have to take a couple weeks off, then so be it, whatever. I'll miss the fitness test. This is great. And then I got the second MRI. They were like, you completely tore your hamstring from the bone. we're going to have to do surgery immediately. And that was my senior year. So like, that was tough. And I don't think I've like really understood in the moment how long it was going to take. But like when you do your hamstring after surgery, you like can't stretch it at all for 4 months. And then when you're coming back, like a lot of it's like you're working around your hamstring. And then around month like 6 or 7 is when you could start like working on the hamstring. Okay. And around that time is when COVID hit. So then I'm at like the almost nearing the end of my like rehab. I'm like gonna start running and I'm gonna start like coming into play again. I was feeling really good. I was lifting, I was doing like bike workouts, and then COVID happened. And that just put like a very weird pause on all of my recovery. Because we got sent home and there was like, I don't really know what to do. Like, I don't know if I want to sprint on my own. I don't want to like mess it up. I don't know what to do. But like, it was like, I was literally on my own. They were like, yep, like you're
home. So you stay in Boston for COVID?
I had to stay in Boston for a little bit because I had to finish my credits at a hospital. So I ended up, I stayed like behind and all my like classmates and everyone left and went home. And I was like living in my boyfriend's house by myself, like going to and from the hospital and like alone for like a couple weeks, which like,
that's crazy. That's really, really crazy right there. So you were alone, your family was back home, and of course we knew like when COVID started, like we don't know what the hell's going on, plus you were by yourself, plus you were like had this injury. Like, how was your mental state in that like that part of the year during COVID and all of this?
Yeah, I think it wasn't great. I was taking it day by day. I was a senior, so like I was very sad to like not walk at graduation. And then like we went on spring break and we came back and like they're like, okay, you have to leave. And like that's the time that we were planning like all of our fun senior activities. Like I'm about to like start playing soccer again. Like everything seemed like it was such like going in such a good direction. And like obviously like my problems are so different than like other people's struggles during that time. So I don't want to like say boo-hoo, I can't go to graduation. But like at that time for me, I was like, everything seems like it's going so well. I just had to sit out my senior season, like, and I'm about to be back. This is great. And then like I can enjoy this time with all of my friends, like family, and we're planning all this stuff. COVID happens, then like it puts a halt on my like all of my rehab, all of my progression stuff. I'm working in a hospital for like 12 hours a day.
Was it scary to like go to like the hospital every day knowing what was going on?
It was like very surreal. So I got lucky and I was on a dermatology floor. Mm-hmm. And it was like back when they don't really know what's going on yet. So like people were kind of like iffy about all the situations, but like we had to get all the nurses had to get their hours in to be able to graduate. So it's kind of like you had to. And I think while I was in the hospital, it wasn't like, I wasn't really processing, you know, like what was going on. I don't think anyone was at that time. And then luckily I came home around like a couple weeks later once my hours were all finished. So I was like home for the height of everything. But yeah, I think my mental state started feeling better when I started playing soccer. And like I had a coach at home who I had met him like the day I started training with him. And like he was so nice to like go through everything with me. And like he was a big part of like why I was able to progress the way I did and be ready for my season. And I still train with him to this day every off season. Like I love him. He is so great. He like did wonders for me when I was coming back because I was like in a part where I was like, I don't ever want to sprint again. And like he kind of took all of the thinking away from it. So when I was training with him, I wasn't even thinking about like sprinting, like all that stuff. We were just playing soccer. So like it got to be really, really fun. That's awesome. And yeah, I think the hardest part then through the summer was like, we didn't know if we were going to have a season or not. Boston College was a lot stricter than the other ACC schools. Mm-hmm. So we were not allowed to do what other schools were doing. So I think that was a little like scary and frustrating because I was also in a point where I was like, I still want to play soccer. I want to like try and play professionally. I was like, I just don't know where everything stands. So I ended up, we didn't have much of a season at all at BC. We did what we could, but like we had a lot of cancellations. Like it was just kind of a broken season, but it gave me the chance to like really like recover and like get back to where I was. And then I came back for my sixth year.
Awesome. And then right about that time, is that when you enter to be on, in the draft for the end of USL?
So I entered the draft after or during the 2020 season. So I was kind of, if I had gotten drafted, I was going to like miss my sixth year and just go. And that was like my plan, but I ended up not getting drafted. And then I don't really understand. The next year, I thought I had registered for the draft. And then I just went undrafted. But then someone said I wasn't available to be picked up. So I don't really know how it is. But, like, I'm at a point where, like, I am proud to say that I went undrafted. Just because, like, for me, it kind of shows, like, what I've overcome. And it's, like, so hard to start in this league drafted or undrafted. But I ended up going to a tryout at Gotham. They invited me to try out. I was like, okay, this could be like my one shot. And
yeah, so they called you, and how did you feel when you got that call?
I was like, okay, this is it. This is like kind of a do or die situation. Yeah. I like
once it was like once again, like here's the opportunity, let me take it. And I don't want to say no and regret it tomorrow, right?
Yeah. And I feel like that's a big pattern of like my career is like, it's kind of like, okay, this is my moment. Like, I have to make the most of it, or like, who knows when the next one's going to be. And so, yeah, I show up to the tryout. We had 2 days of tryouts. And Scott called me when I was working. Like, I was at my job. And he called. And immediately then I, like, saw my boss and I was like, I'm putting in my 2 weeks. I need to leave in 10 days. I'm sorry. I'm just going to do this. And yeah, I did it. And I was at Gotham for like 4 or 5 months before I got a contract, which is another crazy thing. Like, I kind of, like, they always told me, and Scott was amazing. Like, he and I to this day have a really great relationship. And like, I'm so thankful that he was a part of like that time in my life, because like he always made me feel and let me know that like he was my biggest fan and like pulling for me. And that was huge for like my confidence and just like even me wanting to stay there, because I would go home and I'm like, what am I doing? I'm not getting paid. I am a practice player. I was like, I don't know if like this is even sustainable. I was like, I could be making so much more money as a nurse. I was like, what am I doing? And he kind of like kept that light on for me, and always like, he was like, listen, you are like the first person up. Like, once we have a contract for you, like, he was like, I want to sign you. And it kind of like kept me going. And yeah, my first opportunity was when I got the national team replacement contract. And I think that stint went really well. And then I got off it. I was released. And a week later, they signed me.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is so good. That is so amazing, from being undrafted to coming to Gotham, not getting paid, just playing for the love of it, pretty much.
Yeah.
And getting a contract. That's amazing. But you were here the 2022 season, which wasn't the best for Gotham. Like, again, how was your mental state during that time? Like the team wasn't doing great. Like doesn't really matter what you guys were doing. It wasn't like going your way that like you guys wanted.
Yeah. I think it was a little like opportunistic. Like I was like, if like they're gonna need people and I've been here and like I know their style and how they play, like I just need to make sure that like they see me and like there's someone who are like, okay, well, like we have no choice, we have to sign her. And I think that's kind of the situation that we were in. Like I showed up every day, I feel like I worked really hard, like I was trying to do all the right things, I was trying to be a good teammate and like be very positive and just like keep up on my fitness and all that stuff, and like really just like put my head down and work in silence and like wait for my moment. Mm-hmm. So I was like really focused on like what I was doing and how I was acting during that time. Like obviously like everyone wants to be winning and it's tough when you're not, and it like shows a lot of people's like true colors and the true colors of the team. So like it was a tough time for everyone, but like I think the club handled it so well. And like, it's not an easy place to be in, but like everyone day in and day out was like grinding and like working towards something. And obviously like they got rewarded in 2023. But yeah, it was a tough time, but it was a very like trying time. And like, there was a lot of people like who were just like putting their heads down, going to work, like doing everything day in and day out, like no matter what the result the week before was.
Yeah, we did notice that everyone at the club was trying, and didn't matter what they were doing. It wasn't just not going their way. And even when you would play for Gotham, I could tell you were giving 110% on that field. Like you were like hustling out there, and we could see it. Me and Gary will always talk about you on the show. Yeah. So, and then of course you didn't stay with Gotham, but then you moved to Chicago. Mm-hmm. And you've been there with Chicago since 2023, I believe.
Yes.
Is that
last year?
Yeah, that's last year.
It all blurs together sometimes.
I know. Sometimes it feels like we're still in 2020. But yeah, so now you're in Chicago and you start a new season with a new team. But you guys didn't do the best last year. Did you kind of feel like you had like some kind of bad juju like following you, because when you were in Chicago it was not the best?
I think it was definitely, yeah, I mean, like I'm a competitor, like you never want to be on a losing team, but like it does make you better. And like I think that those two seasons taught me so much about like who I want to be as a player and like what I want to bring. And then I also like want to be a part of like the journey up. Mm-hmm. I was like, if I went to a team and we were always number one, always that, like that's great. But I also feel like I would miss out on so many lessons that I've learned in my 2 years, like being on a team that's struggling. Mm-hmm. So what I think is really cool is like now we're kind of reaping the benefits of like what we went through last year. And I'm so happy to be a part of it. And I know the Gotham girls felt that way when they won the championship, of like, we went through so much in 2022. Like, and now like we literally climbed our way up from the bottom to the very top. And I think that's something really cool to be a part of. So like, yeah, it like stinks losing, but I think there's like many bright spots in being in those situations.
Yeah. And what do you think has changed from last year to this year? I mean, you guys didn't have Mallory playing last year, but now she's pretty much killing it too.
Yeah.
Like, you think that was kind of like a big part of why you guys are doing better this year? Or,
I mean, yeah, she's a huge part of like, she is like the piece of the puzzle that like we needed. And like her presence off the field is just as strong as it is on the field. And I think people feel that. They feel that like when she's around, the standard is like raised to the very top. And she's such a good leader. She's such a good person, such a good friend. And yeah, like if we're out doing something, like you want to give her what she's giving us. And I think that's huge. And I think that's what we were missing last year. And obviously, like, she has so much talent. So it just, like, even if she's not getting the ball, she's occupying so many defenders. And, like, it's opening up other people. So I think, like, that was so great. And then, yeah, I think we just had, like, a couple, like, missing pieces. We had, like, obviously, like, two world-class center backs come in the offseason. And I think, like, the way we are now is just, like, everyone is bought into a single idea and a single, like, goal. And I think that's the most important thing. Like, no matter, like, talent, all that stuff aside, if everyone's on different pages, everyone's doing something different, different goals, different mindsets, like, you're never going to be successful. And I think this year, like, we have that common goal of, like, who we are, like, this is our identity. Everyone's bought in. Everyone's doing the same thing. Everyone's working towards the same thing. And yeah, I think that's a huge part of, like, our success.
Yeah. Would you say part of that success was that pine cone you had last year? How did that happen?
That was so silly. I'm, like, so embarrassed that that got as much traction as it did.
Right. But it was like the traveling pine cone at some point.
You just don't have big pine cones on the East Coast. So I saw a massive one before our LA game. And I was like, this is so funny. Everyone from the East Coast was like, that's crazy. And everyone from the West Coast is like, okay, like, that's normal.
Yeah.
They're GMO pine cones. Like, crazy. And we put it in the boot bag. And yeah. I think one of my teammates, Taylor Mallon, like, snuck it out onto the field.
And, but you, like, flew on the plane with that.
Yeah, we still have it. It's, like, in our locker room still. It's been, like, put to bed a little bit. But, like, we thought it was hysterical. And, like, we ended up winning that game. So we're, like, after such a long, like, streak of struggle, yeah, we were, like, this is, like, the key. And we were kind of holding on to whatever we could last year. And, like, it was very lighthearted.
Yeah.
We didn't think that it was going to get as big as it did. And I think, like, yeah, someone, my sister was like making fun of me. She was like, you're the face of the pinecone. I was like, great. Like, if the fans don't know me, they're gonna know me now, and that's gonna be my, like, claim to fame.
But before we go, I'm gonna have to ask you a favor. Please do not bring it to Red Bull.
Oh, it hasn't been traveling. It's so you guys are in luck. No, it's home in our locker room, and it's safe.
So before we go, any goals that you have for this season?
I think I just, like, for me, I want to be in a really good mental space, no matter, like, what happens, and really focus, like, day by day. I think playing time is great, but it's not my focus. Like, I want to help the team win in any way I can, and whether that's 90 minutes or 10 minutes or 2 minutes or just, like, at practice. Like, I think that's always been, like, something I pride myself in doing. So I think just, like, staying in a good headspace, like, when things are going well, like, really feeding off that energy, and when things are going not, being able to, like, be a big girl and be like, this is okay. Like, I'm going to move forward and move past it. And yeah, I think just, like, cherishing the, like, good moments that I have, and, like, making more of that, and, like, really just appreciating, like, everything that's going on, because it is, like, truly so, like, so cool that, like, I'm doing this, and I never thought that this is, like, would be my life, but it is. And, like, I think I'm in a space where, like, I'm just very, like, gracious, and I have a lot of gratitude for, like, everything in my career and the people who helped me here. So I just want to, like, hold on to that this season and kind of make it a very memorable one.
Yeah, that's really cool to hear. And this month is Mental Health Awareness Month. And I actually read an article about you by Jenna Tinelli, and there was, like, a quote that stuck out to me from you that says, I think my future is really bright as long as you want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
Like that.
Yeah. I think, like, in this space, so many players, like, it gets very dark at times, and it's very stressful, but, like, I think the most successful players in this league and the happiest players in this league are the ones who just like keep going and like keep a positive attitude. Just like be patient. Like it is such a long season for us. And I think that's what we get caught up in. Like we want to ride the highs, but we don't want to like get caught up in the lows. So I think like with the lows, having like a short-term memory and just being like I feel like I've been in spots like I didn't have a team at the end of 2020. And like I feel like that's one of the hardest things I had to go through, but it ended up being okay. And so just like always going back to those moments of like I thought it was going to be the worst that it could get, and like it was still okay. And like hopefully that is the worst it ever gets and like all that, but like no matter what, like it is going to be okay. And like there's so much soccer left to be played. Like even this season, like it's incredible like how much we go through in a single season. And like I swear it's been like already like 8 months long, but like I don't even think we're at halfway yet. So yeah, there's a lot of soccer to be played, like a lot of moments and a lot of good moments that like are to be held on to. So yeah, I think just like in honor of Mental Health Awareness Month, like I think that's the most important, especially like even for young girls. Like it's a hard, sports are hard. Like everything's hard, but like there's so many lessons and things to learn from it. And I think like the more we take away, like the better people we are, the better humans, all that stuff. So yeah.
Yeah, that is true. Plus, you guys, like you said, the season feels long. It is long, but you guys are also adding the NWSL, the Summer Cup with the Liga Femenil from Mexico. So those are more games into the season. So it's really important that you guys take care of yourselves and like find some time to like for self-care and all that, even though I'm pretty sure it's pretty hard to find those moments.
Yeah. Few and far in between, but they're there. If you really look, they're there.
For real. So what would be like your dream vacation? Like to relax?
I just want to be anywhere on the beach. I don't care where. My family always goes down to Cape May, New Jersey. So like that will always have such a special place in my heart, and I love it. And I will go to the Jersey Shore anytime. It's like so amazing. I think it gets a bad rap, but it's so great. Cape May is like I could not speak highly enough about it, but like anywhere on the beach. I am like such a beach person when I want to relax, and I was able to go last year. I have a trip planned for December, so I'm very excited.
Yeah, I think December is like the best time to go to like a warm place and the beach. Because here in the Northeast, it's like that's when it's like so cold. Yes. So that's when you have to go somewhere warm. Sometimes I think about it, it's like, why would people like that live up here travel during the summer when it's nice and not during the winter? I was like, I would rather travel when it's cold than when it's like hot. Because yeah, we only get like 3-4 months of like great weather over here.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I am like, can't wait to go into summer. It's gonna be like my reward for myself for getting through this season.
No kidding. I was a couple of days ago, I was like, you know, I was bored and I was like, oh, let me see what deals they have. And I was looking at trips to Cancun and I'm like, what am I doing?
Honestly, I don't blame you. I do that all the time. I'm like just planning.
Yeah, and pre-planning. But then I think about how much it is and I'm like, all right, I'll wait a little bit longer.
Yeah. You're like, maybe this is going to be for 2026.
Yeah. I'm here counting my credit card points to go.
Yeah.
Not kidding. All right. So I just want to say thank you so much for coming to the show. Sadly, we come to the end of the interview. We thank you for taking the time to talk to us. You're always welcome at Red Bull, because once Gotham, always Gotham. Yeah. And good luck, and hopefully we can check in with you from time to time.
Yes, no, I would love that. Thank you guys for having me. I'm so stoked to be going back to Red Bull. I have so many family members and friends coming, so like it's always going to be a special trip for me. And like, it's where everything started for me. Ironically, against Chicago was my first game.
Yes.
So yeah, it holds such a special place in my heart. And like, I'm so excited to come back.
Yeah, coming to like full circle, pretty much. All right, guys. Gotham returns to action this Sunday at 5 p.m. against the Red Stars. I'm so ready for this matchup. Are you ready, Jenna?
I am.
Let's go.
Hi, everyone. This is Gary. Thank you for listening and supporting our project. Here are other ways you can support the show and connect with us. First, word of mouth is everything. So please share our show with anyone who might listen. Also, please rate us 5 stars on Spotify and review us on iTunes. You can purchase our merchandise at the T Public store. Join in the conversation on Twitter at OverGothamPod and Instagram at SoccerOverGotham. Lastly, you can email your thoughts and questions at SoccerOverGotham@gmail.com. Once again, thank you.